Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished leader from Austin, Texas, USA, Laura Patterson. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be included.
Thank you very much. Laura is the president of Vision Edge, which is an organization that works on growth strategy. And she's an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. She just told me she's an author of 4 books. And one of the books is Fast Track Your Business, a customer-centric approach to accelerate market growth. So, Laura, before we get to Vision Edge, as a growth strategy consultant, tell me the kind of work that you are doing and give me an example.
So we work with all kinds of companies and all kinds of industries, predominantly B2B all around the world, with companies that are trying to grow their customers, grow their revenue, expand into new markets, expand into new customer segments, expand the amount of business they're doing with existing customers, all the things that many probably of your viewers are attempting to do as well. And here's kind of an example. A technology company might come to us and they want to help. They want help identifying a new market segment. They've done a really good job of getting traction with their products and services in a particular market, and they want to find out, well, where can we go next, right? And so we will help them through a very data analytically oriented approach of segmentation, build out a model, and help them identify based on very specific criteria where there might be really good opportunities for them to make their next point of entry. And so that's an example of what we would do. We have a lot of case studies, Ashutosh, on our website at visionedgemarketing.com. People are welcome to come and see them. That might spark some ideas for them.
Absolutely.
For how they could grow.
And then, you know, that's a fantastic lead. So people should go and look at, you said visionedge.com?
Visionedgemarketing.com.
Visionedgemarketing.com, and check out a lot of the case studies. So Laura, tell me a little bit about Vision Edge. What got you started in a business like this?
Okay. So I, like you, Ashutosh, I had a very long corporate career. And in my career, the majority of the work I did was all around customer centricity. My very first job was in what, my title. This is way back when. We won't talk about the exact year, but my title was customer relationship manager, which did, So my job was to work with existing customers. And over the years, that has been a cornerstone or a keystone of my work is all around customer centricity, because I'm a large, I'm a big proponent that in order to be successful, companies need to keep in mind Peter Drucker's primary words that the purpose of a business is to create a customer. So, so that's really the DNA of all of our thinking. And for most of our customers, that's their DNA too, working with them to grow and be more customer centric and do it in a way that gives them a competitive advantage. We're really blessed. We have like a 90% referral rate. And that's really because, unlike a lot of other consulting firms, we don't leave our customers dependent on us. We believe in teaching people how to fish, right? If you teach them how to fish, they'll come back to you for other things. We're not trying to make make it so that they have to rely on us to be successful.
Fantastic. And, you know, you worked on, you know, customer centricity on brands. I wanted to ask you a question based on all your experience and all the people that you worked in. What goes into building a successful brand?
Okay, so I think that's a really good question. And so I think, again, being able to articulate your value in customer-centric terms is the number one thing, right? What is the value that your customers will derive as a result of what you offer? And then making sure it's really relevant to the market that you're in and that you serve, and then developing and implementing a strategy that's going to be engaging, right? Because in today's world, It really is about engaging. The customer is empowered. The customer is in the driver's seat. They are very much at the front end of driving everything. And so we need to be able to engage with them. We need to be able to be discovered by them and then engaged with them.
And, you know, there's a banner behind you, and I see market alignment, accountability, data-driven decisions, operational excellence. So I wanted to ask you, how is data changing decision-making in marketing?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. So I want to remind everyone that we've had data science in marketing and marketing science for a very long time. It didn't just emerge in the last decade. We've had data and marketing science for a very long time. Mm. And for those of us who have been around for a while, we might remember direct response. Remember that? Right. And which was very analytical in nature, right? Yeah. Which was decades ago. So marketing has used data to make all kinds of decisions, like segmentation, personas for customer buying journeys, ecosystem maps, all of those things for a very long time. I think the real challenge today for marketing and also the opportunity is analyzing what has become a never-ending steady stream of data. And I think that's, you know, the challenge that many organizations have is how to take that data and turn it into intelligence. Sometimes I think when we had less, we actually did more. Right. So now we have more, and we need to be able to understand how to convert that intelligence into an insight and then apply that insight to solve a business problem. And I think that's where there is more opportunity, and using that data to help us understand and create a view of the future, right? Because back to brands create awareness through the ecosystem they're in, and being a key player in that ecosystem and helping that ecosystem achieve the future, right? So if we can do that with data and the analytics that we apply to it, then that will be great. I think today, the biggest challenge is we still have a lack of skills among in analytics, and they're getting better. There are more, but every person. Now, I'm going to speak just to marketers for a moment. Every marketer needs to be comfortable with analytics. Correct. Every marketer. So I'm just speaking to all marketers. Of course, I am coming from having been a market scientist for a long time, and that. Having a full complement of data scientists and analysts is kind of a huge competitive advantage for a company, right? So it's not just about your personal career and why it's valuable, but it's important to companies to invest because that is what will help them have a competitive advantage.
Fascinating. And yet, when there is one complexity of the analytics, and then there is the second complexity that has come for into the branding world, which is the digital marketplace, multiple platforms, multiple opportunities. I'd love to get your perspective on how do brands work and succeed in a digital world?
Yeah. So again, we're talking about the proliferation of channels and data, right? We're right back in that same conversation. So if we go back, wind the clock, people were wondering how to use when we were a print world and the radio came, right? And then we were a print and radio world and the television came. And now, you know, all these new channels. So that really it comes back to having a really good, compelling, relevant value proposition, you know, being customer centric, a solid strategy, you know, necessary resources to leverage all those channels and to be smart about all those channels. And this is kind of where we see companies kind of falter. The investment, that's the money and the resources, that's the people. They really have to invest because there are so many choices today and customers are leveraging a variety of channels. So it's an omni-channel world. They might start in one channel and ultimately end up making a decision in another channel. They might start on one platform and then ultimately move to another platform. Right. So got to be able to manage all of that and see it holistically.
Interesting. And there's a third element that has now come in, which is with the democratization of the multiple platforms, et cetera. When I was a young marketing person, you would reach out to a Bollywood star from India or a cricket star. But today there's this new breed of influencers who have, you know, done amazing work. Mm-hmm. How are these young influencers or older influencers adding or opportunities for brands?
Yeah, so we see that here too. Mm-hmm. And yes, in prior years, obviously we had different people that we might tap to be evangelists for our organization, for our brand. Mm-hmm. So influencers in the channels, remember that they're all part of an ecosystem.
Correct.
And so what that means is that the ecosystem has expanded. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, ecosystems are constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. And it can be challenging to really keep up with them. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's important to have and be willing to update your ecosystem maps. I think people need to do that. Like, oh, here's something that has emerged, right? And paying attention. And I don't think many companies take that time to map out the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Because of all those new channels that we were talking about, and the influencers, it's important to be able to make your messaging consistent, mm-hmm. right? That's where I think the companies need to think through, mm-hmm. how do we keep our messaging consistent regardless of the channel we're in, the influencers we use, because that's really important. Because remember, when you're leveraging influencers, you really can't control what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. So the more we can be clear in what we want our message to be, mm-hmm. and the more consistent we can make it, that the better we can have those opportunities.
Well said, well said. And you know, you a few minutes ago, you also mentioned how the communication landscape is changing. You know, there used to be huge billboards. We don't take full page advertisements. You'd have a 45 second or a 1 minute movie in a cinema hall. Today, first, the platforms have changed to handheld devices. Everyone's watching it on their phones. And second, with the advent of TikTok and other similar platforms, you've got to communicate in 10 seconds or 7 seconds. How are brands learning to cope with communicating in such a short time?
Yes, you're right. And attention spans, right? Or the lack of them. This goes back to this idea of concise messaging, mm-hmm. and really being clear about your promise. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, and our company still does a lot of this work, we made message maps. Mm-hmm. You probably remember that. Yeah. And we used to do message maps that had both long and short form messaging, mm-hmm. right? People still need to do that. I think they have a tendency to kind of get a little complacent. They build out sort of the big picture message map, and then they aren't thinking about the fact that you need to have, you know, a message map that has the 100 words, you know, the 50 words, the 10 words, and then the 144 characters. Yeah. How could you, right? You have to build your message map to have that be very, very clear. And I think if you can do that, you'll have a better opportunity to take advantage of all these different platforms.
Very interesting. So Laura, now I'm going to move to another segment of our conversation, which is your books. I know you mentioned before we started recording that you have four books. I only have one book that I have got in my cheat sheet here, which is Fast Track Your Business, A Customer-Centric Approach to Accelerate Market Growth. Do tell me about this book and all your other books. But before that, for my viewers and listeners, tell me, are these available on Amazon?
So the Fast Track is available on Amazon. I think the other three, one is Metrics in Action, probably is available on Amazon as second at Dairy Market, right? So previously read books. Mm-hmm. We have there's a long story to what happened to our mm-hmm. publisher who has Alzheimer's. And so we did not, yes. So there's a whole story behind that. Mm-hmm. Measure What Matters and Gone Fishing are probably, again, only on the secondary market. Those are the original, those first three books. But I'd love to talk about Fast Track.
I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. What would be the maybe a little bit about the impetus of this book, I think would be helpful.
So what I'd like you to tell me is, what was your hypothesis and what made you write it? And maybe some experiences you've had with the book.
Okay. So when we started our company in 1999, when we started our company, we created a thing that was known as the growth wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, anyone who gets fast track will know, will see that this has been renamed mm-hmm. The circle attraction. We'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. We had this growth wheel and we would use it when in customer engagements to help them accelerate what they were trying to do and mm-hmm. create a growth engine.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our customers, as he moved through different opportunities over the years, would have me come and do a program around the growth wheel with mm-hmm. all of his people. And a few years ago, doing one of those programs for him at another company, he said, when are you going to put this growth wheel in a book? And I said to him, to John, mm-hmm. I really didn't plan on doing another book.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this would be a great book.
Mm-hmm.
So hold that thought. And at the same time, I don't know if you know Jim Obermeyer, who have mm-hmm. a longtime acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to do a series of programs, which we named Ready, Set, Grow,
okay.
which was radio segments with CEOs that were focused on growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those conversations, they were very inspiring. And they also had a lot of connections to the growth wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And these were CEOs that we have, you know, a good relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so between those interviews and the Circle Attraction and John, it just came together. It just, you know how that is, Ashutosh? Mm-hmm. Sometimes things just
correct.
Come together. And all of a sudden, by bringing those conversations
mm-hmm.
and the Circle Attraction together, all of a sudden we had a book. And that's how Fast Track was born.
Amazing. Amazing. And any interesting stories to share from the book?
I think one of the important stories out of the book is the notion of how important it is to keep the periscope up. So a couple of key things out of the book that people I think should find interesting mm-hmm. is the role of culture, mm-hmm. right? Culture plays a really important role in your organization mm-hmm. and you have to have the right culture to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that, but also keeping the periscope up with your customers and your competition. I think a lot of people can become very insular and very internally oriented
mm-hmm.
and the up periscope helps you keeps you reminded that mm-hmm. again, you are a part of an ecosystem and you need to be aware of what's going on in that ecosystem.
Very interesting. So since you mentioned culture, I must ask you a question on culture. You know, it's often Peter Drucker, the management guru, has often said, and it's a very famous line, I read about it in India in one of his books, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yes.
Tell me about how important is culture when you're building businesses and from a marketing perspective?
Well, so in Fast Track, we talk about the circle attraction
mm-hmm.
and the circle attraction, in order to have a wheel that moves, you have to have an axle.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key components of the axle and mm-hmm. circle attraction is culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta have culture. You gotta have systems and tools and processes. You mm-hmm. gotta have data and analytics and you gotta have solid people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the axle.
Mm-hmm.
But culture is the foundation for everything that happens inside your company,
mm-hmm.
right? And in an organization,
mm-hmm.
the people, the leadership team
mm-hmm.
is shaping that culture,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think it's, you know, it's a vital part of any company's way that they operate. It's how they operate.
Well said, well said. So I've got time for one more question, and I'm going to ask you this question for all our viewers and listeners. Based on your amazing experience and all the things that you have done and all the books that you have written, what would you say are three lessons that you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
Well, I guess lessons might be an interesting question. I think it's okay to work hard. I think mm-hmm. we've got an interesting culture going on about people wanting to have maybe things not be so hard, but mm-hmm. I think it's okay to have a strong work ethic. Mm-hmm. I think there's not, that is a positive thing. Mm-hmm. People who can do, right? I think we have that. So that's a life lesson for me. Mm-hmm. For me also, be clear about what your principles and your values are. Don't do things that are going to go against those, mm-hmm. but know what those are for yourself. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is do the right thing. Sometimes the right thing isn't the easiest thing, mm-hmm. but doing the right thing for your customers, for your company. So those are some of the things that I think are important to remember.
So let me ask you, I've got time for two or three more questions. My next question, and these are a few questions I wanted to ask you because my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. You've had an amazing life and you started Vision Edge, as you said, in 1999. But what would you say are three key milestones in your journey?
Yes, and I think about these milestones also as forks in the road, mm-hmm. right? So I often talk about the forks in the road. So for me, it started going to college. I thought I was going one place mm-hmm. and another college came to me and offered me a full ride, room, board, mm-hmm. and tuition for my entire college career. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going in that direction. And that was a huge fork in the road. And it, was a key milestone. And it put me on a totally different path than I probably would have been on somewhere else. Mm. So that was one milestone. I think the second milestone was the opportunity to join Motorola here in Austin. That's what brought me to Austin. I went to graduate school in Florida. My career was in Florida in a startup company that, this will date me, that had an application that ran on a Wang 2200. That will give people perspective.
Okay.
That was one, yes. Yeah. And my work brought me into contact with people at Motorola, and Motorola was here in Austin and it had a little startup, believe it mm-hmm. or not, mm-hmm. In the microcontroller business. And wow. they offered me an opportunity, another fork in the road. And I said, yes. And so an amazing career at Motorola, a wonderful company, great mm-hmm. culture, so many wonderful lessons. Yeah. Plus, I got to ride the microcontroller rocket ship. It was just phenomenal.
Amazing.
Yes, another fork in the road that brought me to Texas. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the last one is starting my own firm, wow. right? Taking the risk, the fork in the road. I could have gone to work for other companies in 1999. If you could spell marketing in Austin, you could get a job. And I was being offered opportunities in 1999. Along with many others. And it stepped back for a moment and said, maybe this is the time to think about stepping out of corporate life and having my own company. So that was a key fork in the road. Amazing. So those I would think are some examples.
Amazing. And my last question to you, who or what inspires you?
So I would say that for me, our customers are inspiring every day, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what gets me up in the morning. What mm-hmm. gets me up in the morning is the things that I'm working on to help them be successful mm-hmm. and the faith, the trust they have and the guidance that we're giving them and what they're trying to accomplish. Most of our customers are trying to make a difference in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to make something better, make the lives of their customers better, make the world better. And that's inspiring to be a mm-hmm. part of that.
Fantastic. Laura, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length about Vision Edge and all the amazing work that you're doing on marketing, about in analytics, branding. Thank you for talking to me about your books. And thank you for talking to me about your own journey as well. Thank you again and good luck.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.